So. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A bit higher than normal, that one.
Yeah. You get vertigo. Scary. Good morning, friends. Here for a short while, just to share the good news of the gospel with you. Anybody like a copy of God's Word? The Bible, that is. Gladly place one into your hands. Yours simply for the taking. No cost, no obligation to you. And we're here simply and only to give, not asking for anything from anybody. We just simply want to give as we have received the grace of God, that is. Gospel, of course, being good news. Good news, that is, for sinners, but of course, I guess maybe if you're, you don't fit into that category, you don't see yourself as a sinner, well then, I guess it's not good news for you. But if you're like the rest of us, the rest of the human race, well, this is good news because, well, as God Himself says in His Word, the Bible, not my Word, God's Word, He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know, one of the interesting things I find about the Bible is it gives you a beginning. In the beginning, God created. Some people, rather, I think foolishly, think, you know, that everything just came about by accident, you know? An accidental explosion, a bang, you know, people get wise. Banks don't make things, you know? I spent 15 years in the armed forces, and I never saw, and I never heard of an explosion that made anything. Explosions are destructive, not creative. So the Bible gives us a beginning, but when you've got a beginning, you've got an ending as well. What begins must come to an end. And that, of course, that includes the universe that God has created, and humankind and everything in it. The Bible, and the Bible alone, no other place where you can find it, the beginning and the end. Evolution doesn't give you a beginning. The Quran doesn't give you a beginning. The mutterings of Buddha and Confucius don't give you a beginning. Only the Bible tells you how things began. Yeah? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And of course tells us how it finishes. And this is my concern. My concern is for how it will be for you when the end comes. And the Bible tells us exactly how it's going to finish. Listen up. God's word for Thompson here today. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. That's how it finishes. But the question...
Nonsense.
No, sir. It's the Bible, sir. God's wisdom, sir.
It's nonsense.
God's wisdom, sir. Nothing like it in all the world. The one of God, friends, you know? And of course, God, who knows everything. You know, there's no man knows everything. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. You can ask me questions. Ask me questions even about the Bible, about Christian things, and I might have to tell you I don't know the answer to that question, because I don't know everything. But the thing is that, we've got a parrot here or something. The thing is that, friends, that God knows everything. He is the omniscient God, the all-knowing God who knows everything. And who knows the end from the beginning. And who tells us what the end is. And this is the end. The Lord Jesus Christ being revealed from heaven, coming with his mighty, mighty, mighty angel in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those who know not God. Who know not God, that is relationally, you know, in a loving, covenantal relationship with God. It's not those who don't know that God exists, and everybody knows that God exists. You know that, just the same as I do, and for the same reason. You have within you, in your soul, you have an innate knowledge of God. Men try to eradicate it, they try to scratch it out, you know, with evolution and false religion and all kinds of devices, but they cannot. It's there, you know? That's why some of you get irate, that's why some of you get upset when we talk about God, when we preach the gospel to you. Because you don't like it, you see. You don't want there to be a God. Why? Because, well, because you were conceived, you were born in sin, says God. You come into the world 9 months later, live in sin, in anarchy against God, in rebellion against your Maker. So you don't want to know, you see. But here's the thing, you see, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming in judgment to take vengeance upon people who do not know God. To know God and to know Jesus Christ to be sent, that's eternal life, says Jesus. And friend, in that day, if you do not know Him, and I don't mean the gods of the heathen, I don't mean the gods of men's imaginations. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, the God who penned, who breathed out the Bible, the Holy Scripture. That God. There is no other God but Him. And there is no other way back to Him, to be reconciled to Him, and to come to know Him, but by His Son Jesus Christ, who today would be your Savior, if you were to believe upon Him, sir. If you were to believe upon Him, rather than reject Him, then your end would be a good one when He comes with His holy angels to take vengeance upon them who know not God and obey not the gospel. What is the obedience that God requires of you? Repentance. To obey the gospel is to repent of your sin and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. That's the obedience that God requires of you. Turn from your sin. Let the wicked forsake his way, pathway, way of living, lifestyle, and sin. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, his thinking. Your world view, your mind, you see, has fallen just like the rest of you, and needs to be repaired, needs to be restored. And only Jesus Christ, only through my gospel, only through obedience to the gospel, only through repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can your mind be fixed. Can your fallen mind, your broken mind, be put back in order so that you think intelligently instead of foolishly. And think wisely and do wisely. Do according to what God commands you to do. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good morning,
Jill. Good morning, sir. You have a good day? Good. That's good. You a believer, sir?
I am.
You are? Praise the Lord. The four of us then. Bless you, sir. There we go. Friends, the gospel, you know. That's the obedience that God requires of you. But here's the thing, you see, He's coming, Jesus is coming again, not like a little bitty baby in a manger, you know, in a cattle shed. He's coming in mighty power, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in all his glory with his mighty angels, and he's coming to take vengeance upon those who are antagonizers, antagonistic to the gospel. And friends, some people in this our day and generation, I tell you, and I dare say even in Taunton Town, many, many people are very antagonistic to the gospel. And I have to warn you, in love, I warn you, he's coming to punish such wickedness, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction and excluded forever and ever from the presence of the Lord God Almighty. The antagonizer. You don't want to be antagonistic to the gospel. To be antagonistic to the gospel and antagonistic towards the servants of the gospel is to be antagonistic to God himself. And that's not a good place to be. That's foolish.
That's
foolish, yes, sir.
So
I'm not shouting, sir. I'm speaking, sir. You're in the hands of an angry God, and you need saving. You need to repent. You need to believe the gospel, sir, so that you can be saved. He's coming again to punish, sir, and to punish you if you do not repent and believe the gospel.
I remember someone
saying, "Please don't be angry. Don't be antagonistic toward the gospel."
I remember someone saying to me once,
"Will bring punishment upon you."
I'm trying to speak again, or are you so rude that you don't let anybody speak? I remember saying someone saying to me once in my Sunday school,
yes,
that
sir,
God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth,
oh, yeah,
that we should listen more to speak.
Well,
now,
why don't you listen then, sir? So there we go, you see what I mean about antagonistic towards the gospel, and of course towards the author of the gospel, even Jesus. Repent, sir, repent, believe the gospel before it's too late, because he's coming to punish the antagonizers, those who are antagonistic towards the gospel. That's a bad place to be, friend. That's a very, very bad place to be. You'll be punished with everlasting destruction if you remain that way. If you remain, that is, in your sin. If you do not believe that I am he, says Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of sinners, you will die in your sin. You'll perish in your sin. But whosoever believeth that the Son has everlasting life. But whosoever believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Everlasting destruction. That's the end. That's how it finishes. And that's how it will finish for you if you do not repent and believe the gospel. If you do not embrace the lovely, lovely, lovely Lord Jesus Christ, who loved sinners and gave himself for them. Oh, dear friends, whosoever believeth shall not perish in their sin, but have everlasting life. Antagonizers, those antagonistic to the gospel, are antagonistic towards Jesus, antagonistic towards his love, and shall be punished with everlasting destruction and excluded from God's presence. The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous are excluded from the kingdom of God, excluded now from the kingdom of God. But then, my friends, when Jesus comes, too late to repair then, too late to repent then, too late to believe then, too late to be saved then, but now, excluded from the kingdom of God, but now today you could be included. If you would but believe, if you would but repent of your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you would no longer be excluded from the kingdom of God. But then, at the end, when he comes in his glory with the mighty angels in flaming fire to take vengeance upon those who know not God and obey not the gospel, dear friends, punished with everlasting destruction and excluded from the presence of God forever and ever, for all eternity, and to end up nothing but an object of God's wrath for all eternity. We don't want that end for you. We pray for you, and we come to you with the gospel in order that you might escape such an end, that you might no longer be excluded from God's kingdom, and that your end might not be exclusion from the presence of God forever, and to be punished with everlasting destruction. Never ending. Some young people, you know, they talk about hell. When we mention the subject of hell, they talk rather foolishly. They talk as if, you know, they think that they're going to be with their friends. They're going to enjoy their wickedness in such a place. Friends, they're mistaken, I have to tell you. Dear friends, read the Gospels for yourself. See what Jesus, the lovely Savior, who would save you, who would wash you from your sin and reconcile you to God. Read what the lovely Jesus says about hell. He speaks about it more than anybody else in the Bible, and very graphically too. He describes it as a place of utter and absolute torment, night and day, where the worm dieth not, a conscience that will haunt you, a conscience that will burn for all eternity without relief, where the fire never quenches. Have you heard that song of Johnny Cash's about the lake of fire? He says, and it burns, 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 the lake of fire. Do you know why it burns, burns, burns? Because it's never short of fodder to keep the fire going. It's being fed day after day. Thousands, millions of people falling into a lost eternity and into the lake of fire. That's the end of unbelief. That's the end of your disobedience. That's the end of your not knowing God. That's the end of your not obeying the gospel of God, of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. And we would have you to be saved from such an end. We would not want you to face such an horrific end. What man in his right mind, what person who has a modicum of love in them, would not raise their voices, knowing of such a danger, knowing of such a catastrophic end for human beings, would not lift up their voices and cry out to people and tell them to escape such an end? Run from it with all your might, with all your heart, soul, and mind. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Then this might not be your end. Friends, some people talk about annihilation. They say when people are done with this world, you know, when they die, when they breathe their last, they think. People, you know, who attempt to take their own life, they think, you know, because of their suffering, because of their pain in this life, they think to themselves, I'll end it all. I'll end it all. I'll take my life, and that will be the end of my suffering. No, friends, the very opposite. That's to increase your suffering. Death is not a state of non-being. You've got a soul that shall be in existence forever. Your soul will still be in existence in a million years' time. You'll still be in existence. But the question is, where will your soul be in existence? In a heavenly mansion with God, a hellish hovel with the devil and his angels? Oh, he meant the thought, friends, that when you die, that's it, it's all over. It's what unbelief, that's what godless people say. When you're dead, finish, finito, end of story. Nobody knows, it's a black hole. Nobody ever came back to tell us. Yes, they did, Jesus did. And he tells us in his word, it is appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. Then you stand before God and give account. In that day, of all your lawless deeds, of your sinful nature in which you were conceived and born, and all the sinful practice that has come from it. And all because they refused to know God. They refused to know God. Oh, know that God exists to a man, to a woman. There's not a person in all God's world that doesn't know that God is. But to know him, that's a different matter. You might say, I know Prime Minister Johnson. But what you really mean is, you mean you know about him. You've read about him. You've seen pictures of him on the television or in the newspaper. But you don't know him. You don't know him personally. You don't know him in a relationship. That's a different thing altogether. To know him, as the song says, to know him, is to love him. Do you know him? Do you love him in a relationship with the living and true God? Oh, dear friends, to know, to refuse. And that's what unbelief is. That's what unbelief is. That's what apostasy, that's what your stubborn rebellion is. It's stamping your feet and saying, I don't want to know God. I don't want to know God. But that's a reflection of your heart. That's a reflection of your heart. Rebellion of your heart. That's the disease, that's the plague of the heart. That's sin, my friends. That's selfishness. That's sin. And for that God will punish you with everlasting destruction when he comes with his holy angel. You need to escape such an end, and you need to get to know him. With all your might, you need to get to know him. You need to read the Bible. You need to read the spots of it. You need to read it and read it and read it. And you need to pray over it. You need to call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, shall be saved. Shall be saved. Saved from such an end, such a catastrophic finish. People who wanted to be. And here's the thing, friends, you know, God sends his servants amongst you to declare the gospel. And you say, no, I don't want this. I don't want your God. I don't want his salvation. I don't want his son. Don't want anything to do with God. I want to be separate from him. And you're already separated from him. But you say, you reiterate, you say what's in your heart. I want to be separate from God. So God says, okay. You want that? Maybe you should change your mind, sir. Maybe you should repent, sir. Maybe you should wash your mouth out, sir. Huh? Dirty, filthy talk. The presence of women and children. What a creature. What a filthy creature. Huh? What's this place like, huh? Repent and believe the gospel, man. Get on your knees before God. Cry out to him for mercy before he destroys you with everlasting destruction. Get your head right and get your heart right. And then your mouth will be right. You stop using language like that. Huh? So you want to be separate from God. So God says, in a measure, God says, okay, I'll give you what you want. I'll open the door. Out you go. I'll give you over. I'll give you exactly what you want. And I'll give you over to yourself. And so you're left with yourself instead of God. And what good that do you, eh? Just gives you over to what you want. More and more and more sin until the cup is full. God removes you from the world and you stand before the judge and give a cup. Even for this occasion, even for this day, this morning, when you heard the gospel, when you heard the truth that would have saved you and brought you to a knowledge of God and to an obedience to the gospel, but you would have none of it because you said you did not want God. You wanted to be separate from Him. And so you're faced with that end. You're faced with that catastrophic end. Inflaming, unquenchable fire with His holy angels to take vengeance upon those who did not want to know God, refused to know Him, wanted to be separate from them, and then separated from Him for all eternity, punished with everlasting destruction. That's the end. That's the end, my friend. That's the end. God says so in His Word. But in contrast, the believers, listen up, friends, the believers, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. For the believer, for the sinner, and I tell you, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon received. And that believer, that trusting soul, that person who knows God, who has obeyed the gospel, that person, God will be glorified in them, and they will be objects of His admiration. Instead of being punished with everlasting destruction, the believer shall be rewarded with everlasting life, eternal life, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the end to which everything in the world today, all the politics, all the philosophies of men, everything, I tell you, right on schedule, working out God's scheme.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to know that if you want to
entertain one of you, am I? Okay. But I hope giving you something to think about, madam. Then you'll repent, believe the gospel, get rid of that irritation. That's called antagonism, and God will punish you for that, madam. So like I say, friends, you know, for the believer, it's the exact opposite. Glory shall be there, you know, everlasting glory. But this is the end, you see. God is saving His people, those whom He has chosen, not everybody, those whom He has chosen out of the human race in every day and generation. God is causing things to work to this end and will bring it to an end. And He will be glorified in His people, those who believe on His name, those who by His grace He has saved and kept and loved, because they believe God's testimony, because they believe the Word of God, they believe God's record, His testimony concerning His Son Jesus Christ. You say it's not true, you call God a liar. That's antagonism to the gospel again. Antagonism to God. Get rid of it. Repent of it. Turn from it. Flee into the arms of Jesus. Friend, obey God's testimony. Receive God's testimony. It's the engrafted Word that is able to save your soul. If you would but receive it. Receive the living Word of God, Jesus even. He came to His own, but His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him to believe in His name, He gave the power, the power to become children of God instead of children of wrath. Oh, friends, the gospel, glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that saves sinners, saves men and women who are antagonistic to God and to His gospel and to His Son Jesus Christ, that they might be glorified in Him. But not because of any good thing in them, not because of something they've done. We're Christians today, not because of what we've done. It's not because people are religious. You see, there's none that doeth good, says God. None good, none that doeth good. Salvation comes to us by the grace of God, apart from any works of man at all. It's only the grace of God dispensed as God pleases, given to whoever God pleases. It's the grace of God that makes the difference. It's the grace of God that makes the contrast between the believer and the unbeliever. Anybody ever believe? It's not because of them. Nobody who's a Christian, nobody who's a believer can pat themselves in the head and say, what a good person I am. I'm a good person, I believe. God, His grace, it's His grace that causes a man, a woman to believe. That distinction, that contrast is made by God Himself. Because of the grace of God that we bring to you today, declare amongst you today that by that grace you might be saved. By the grace of God you might escape the end, the punishment of everlasting destruction, exclusion from the presence of God for all eternity, that you might escape that end. And there's only one way of escape. Only one way of escape, my gospel. Only one way of escape. Jesus, the Son of God. I am the way, He says, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. None other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is His name. One name, and one name only. The name which is above every other name, and the name before which every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Be assured, God will have glory from you, one way or the other. He'll either be glorified in your salvation or glorified in your damnation. One of the two. But my prayer, my hope, my wish, my desire, I don't know what God's is for you. I can't speak for Him. But I can only say my desire, my hope for you is that you would be saved, that you would obey the gospel, that you would come to know God through His Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Only through Jesus. It's what He was sent for. It's why He came. Sent specifically and particularly to die on a cross. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He died on a cross so that grace might be yours and mine. He died on that cross that you might be forgiven. He died on that cross that you might be washed and made clean. He died on that cross to reconcile you to God, bring you to a knowledge of God and your sins forgiven, to bring you to eternal life. That's how much He loved sinners, wicked, rotten, vile sinners who are antagonistic towards Him. Father, forgive them, He cried from the cross, as He was dying between two vile thieves, one of which turned to Him and received His salvation and the assurance of a home in heaven. Oh, dear friends, grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's grace that you need, not religion. It's regeneration you need, not religion. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He must be born again. Grace, not religion. Grace, not work. Grace, my friend, the free gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, whom I declare to you this day, that should you believe on his name, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Oh, dear friend, if you'll think not of yourself, think of your family, think of your kinsfolk, think of your offspring, think of your siblings, think of your husband, your wife, think of others around you. Grace of God that brings salvation to household. Salvation, that there is forgiveness with God, that there is a way back to God from that horrible dark path of sin. There is a way back. You don't have to remain where you are today. Maybe today you'll say to me, everything's good today. I'm okay, I'm good. I got money in the bank. I got a job. Family's good. Everything's rosy in the garden. Won't always be that way. Won't always be that way. There's an end coming. Because that which has a beginning has an end. And the end is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with his holy angels, mighty angels, to take vengeance upon all those who know not God and who obey not the gospel, to punish them with everlasting destruction and to exclude them from the presence of God forever. That's not the end we want for you. We want glory. We want glory for you. We want the glory of heaven for you. We want God for you. We want you to be reconciled. We want you to be made everlastingly righteous. We want you to be made everlastingly safe in the arms of Jesus. Salvation. Go to him. He who commands you today. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He who commands you today. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Tantus. Why? For the kingdom of God is at hand.
Amen.
And you cannot enter the kingdom of God
right. Lest
you repent and believe the gospel.
Come on, brother.
Today, repent ye and believe the gospel. God now commands all men everywhere to repent. Obedience to the gospel brings salvation from such a catastrophic end as you will face without it. So I call upon you, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today, people of Taunton, turn. Why will you die when there is life eternal to be found in the Savior, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave himself for them? Go to him in repentance. Go to him confessing your sin. Go to him. Cry out to him. Call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Imagine like a copy of God's word. check these things out for yourself. See that they are so according to the Word of God. Check it out. Study, read, meditate for yourself upon God's Word. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, never dying soul.
Oh, good word, Jimmy. Oh, it's just nice to hear you preaching here, Sam.